I am so thankful for Jesus, aren't you? Without Him, where would we be? We'd be in a big, big mess. Koi, I just want to, where are you, Koi? Are you still out there, Koi? When he shared there, he started getting choked up, and I thought, man, you know, I remember getting saved. I remember getting choked up. I remember my life changed. I remember getting choked up many times. I have probably cried thousands of times before the Lord. I tell people I'm growing the most when I'm crying the most. Some people go, I probably shouldn't cry. And I go, man, are you kidding? That tells me your heart's been tenderized by the Holy Spirit. You're not afraid to let your emotions out and to cry out before the Lord and to thank Him. I just want to thank all of you. Thank you, CCF, people at CCF. Thank you for all, everybody here, what you do. Because what he said is that you guys gave me the courage to make the decision. We need everybody. We need one another. We need the church. We need people. We need people helping us and encouraging us, not only to get saved, but to continue to grow in our salvation. We need one another. And I am so thankful for all of you and for all that you all contribute to make this place a place that welcomes people that need to know Jesus Christ, that welcomes sinners, a sinner such as me. I am so thankful for Jesus Christ and all that He has done for us. Let us never forget. Never forget. We're doing communion at the end of the service here, and I think it's a time to remember. Never, ever forget what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross at Calvary. We've been talking about truth. I'm in this truth series, and Pilate asked, what is truth? We found out that truth and grace is needed, that Jesus mingled them together at the confusion of everybody. We realized that truth reveals sin and grace removes it. We talked about how Jesus doesn't condemn you but empowers you. He saves you. You condemn yourself by not accepting Him. We realize that truth is like a light. You can either flip it on or you can turn it off. You control the switch. Do you want more light or less light in your life? We realize that the Holy Spirit's job is to guide us into truth, and that the Holy Spirit is the lie detector. The Holy Spirit guides us to truth regardless of how popular truth is. He guides us to what it is. And we talked about, I don't think anybody should impose their own standards on anybody else, but we are to impose God's. We are to impose God's because His is the truth. If you want any of the other messages that we've done here, you can always go to livingfaithfellowship.com or go to our church app and you can get those. Would you mind standing with me as we read our section of scripture we're going to do this morning? It's in John 8. An excerpt of it is 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free? They didn't get it. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Let's kind of unpack this scripture as we go through here. I titled this particular one, Truth Sets You Free. Truth sets us free. It sets us free. We need to remember that, regardless of how difficult, how hard, or how non-comprehensible to us it all is, it sets us free. He said, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, they were believing what He was saying, believing what He was teaching, if, He gives a conditional now, if, this is not a blanket statement, He says if, a conditional, if you abide in My word, the word abide is I love this word, it's meno, it means to stay. It's like when you tell your dog, sit, stay, and the dog is supposed to stay there. You know, you got one of those dogs that doesn't want to stay. You turn your back and he starts running. That's not the kind of dog God wants to have. It's not the kind of dog I want to have. But sometimes you're stuck. No, I'm just kidding. Stay. He says, will we stay in the Word regardless of the squirrels running around or all the junk that's out there? Will we stay, sit, and be happy? Stay in His Word. Are we staying in His Word? He says, if you do and you stay in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. If you stay. That means to abide, to continue on. It doesn't mean, hey, I came to Jesus and it was cool, but I'm kind of moving on to other things. I'm adding other things to this whole thing. No. It doesn't mean come and go. It doesn't mean, yeah, I do and don't. Yeah, I'm in church for a while, but then I'm gone for a number of years and I kind of come back. No, he's talking about abiding. He wants us to abide. He wants us to stay. He wants us to continue. And it says, you are My disciples indeed if you stay. The Bible is the Word of God. Then Jesus said, believe and abide in My Word. Abide in My Word. The Bible is the Word of God. And when you are in the Word and we're following the Word and we continue in His Word and we're reading His Word, if you continue to read. I've heard people say, well, I've read the Bible once, and I think about it every once in a while, and that's how I live my life. No. You don't read this once. You don't read this twice. You don't read it three times. You read it throughout the rest of your entire life. As they're getting ready to put you in the grave, the last thing you're going to read is, how precious in the sight is the death of His saints. I mean, you're reading all the way through to the end. This is important. This is important because it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and we must do the truth. But we have to know what it is. We have to know what it is and continue in it. We must follow the truth. So we must abide in His Word, and when you are in the Word, you shall know the truth. When you're in the Word, you shall begin to know and understand the truth. I know some people read it through and I go, I didn't really understand anything. I read stuff. It didn't make sense to me. So I'm done. No, you got to read it and read it again and read it again. Take a class. Come to Carpenter Series. Come to a church. Get involved in a church someplace. Read. Hear the preaching of the Word. Hear it taught. Hear it begin to understand it. Begin to know it more. Then begin to get a study aid and do your own Bible studies and then be good Bereans and search the Scriptures. And all of a sudden, you're on a trek. You're on a journey where your life gets transformed. And Koy, that's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. Maybe you don't know things right now. You don't even know all that God has for you. What you do know is this, that God loves you so uncomprehensible to you right now, His love that He has for you. But it talks about it in here. And as you begin to read this and understand it, your life is going to begin to change. You're going to start doing things differently than you've ever done before. You're going to have courage by those who are around you. And all of a sudden, you're going to read the Word, and you're going to understand the Word, and this Word is going to change your life. And that's how a Christian grows and becomes all that God wants them to be. We have to be in it. And that's what Jesus was saying. You got to be in this Word. Stay in it. Continue in it. And as you do, you'll know truth. You'll know truth. And when you know the truth and you apply it to your life, the truth shall make you free. Koy, you're free, man. You're a free man. The truth shall make you free. Wow, those are powerful words. Those are powerful words. Freedom comes because we know and practice the truth. I put the "and practice" in there because I know a lot of people that know truth whose lives aren't changing, but you have to know the truth and then practice it. Know it and then practice it. Know it and then practice it. That's how our life gets changed. Freedom, 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 freedom. We have to realize that. Koy, can you come up here with me? Do you mind coming up here? Come up here for just a second. Just run on up here. Give him a hand. Come on, Koy. Come on up here, buddy. What I want you to do is I want you to pick up that chain and tell me how heavy it is. Is it heavy? Yes. It's a good size. It's heavy, isn't it? I'm not kidding you, man. To pick this whole chain up is, okay, you got it? Look at you. Okay, grab the ball. Okay, drag it around a little bit. Okay, so here, let me put this on you like this. Wrap this around you like that. There you go. Okay, now walk along. Yeah, just walk along. Okay. Now, you got to realize that that's what life is like. And Jesus was trying to tell us, hey, you need to be set free. Now, we're gonna as we continue on here, you're just right there. As we continue on in this scripture now, we're going to find out that the Pharisees didn't get it. They didn't get this idea of what they were talking about, because the Pharisees going, we're good, we're wonderful, we're free, we have Abraham, we've got some people down the line that we look to, and we're okay because they're okay. I'm okay because my grandparents were Christians, and therefore I'm okay. Well, it doesn't work that way. And the Pharisees were doing the same thing. Hey, we're okay because we've got a great heritage behind us, and we're good people. But they didn't understand the bondage that they were in, and Jesus was trying to talk to them about freedom. And Coy, I would imagine, before he came to know Christ, before, was it on Friday?
At Jam, yeah.
At Jam? What's Jam?
Jesus at Midnight.
Oh, Jesus at Midnight. Oh, you had a jam. Oh, I got you. Put a little peanut butter on the jam, yeah. This is how he's walking. Here's how he is before midnight. He's got all of this that he's dragging along. He's pulling this chain, which is super heavy, and that ball around it as well, and he's walking in a bondage in his life, wrapped by this, thinking, oh, I'm free, I'm okay, but he's not. Now, let me say this too. Even a Christian can be walking in this bondage because we're not totally free. I want to continue on in our scripture here, but I want you to get this image of this bondage, this ball and chain that inhibits your movement, that inhibits your freedom. You can't run very fast with that on, can you?
No.
You're probably, what, a 4.5, 40, 4.4, 4.3, something? Maybe a little, maybe not quite that fast. But I'll tell you what, you're not a 4.3 with that on. I don't care who you are. You can be Antoine Bolt. Is that his name, the guy that's the fast? Usain Bolt. Yeah, there you go. There we go. I call him Lightning. But anyway, it's fast. I don't think he's going to run very fast carrying a ball and chain. And you got to come on. This chain is heavy. It's really heavy. You should feel how heavy this chain is. It's pretty heavy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like a light chain. Yeah, it's going to bother you, isn't it? Yeah, let's get that. Okay, let's pull that off for a second. Because you know the truth, you'll become free and you'll... Freely break the chain. We're breaking it. Boom. Put it off like that. We have a little poster up there. The truth will set you
free.
Awesome, man. Ugh. I love this guy.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. He's talking about this chain, this ball and chain that the Pharisees were walking in, that everybody was walking in, that we walk in. And he says, hey, truth will set you free. It will lighten the load. It will take the ball and chain off your life. But you have to know the truth. The Pharisees didn't want to know it. They already knew it. They were telling Jesus, we know. And there are a lot of people out there who don't tell me anything. I know. I know the way God should be. My God is a God of, well, you know what? There is only one God. And regardless of how you drum him up, this is just the thing that describes him. You can't describe him any other way than what this describes him. He is not by your description. It's by the description of that which he describes himself. Freedom comes because we know and practice the truth. The truth will set you free. The word make free here, I love it. It means to liberate. It means to exempt. To exempt. Now, all of you, when you're doing your taxes, you like to have those exemptions, right? You wish you had 12 children when it comes tax time, don't you? Outside of tax time, you said, what were we doing? The McManuses say that all the time. What were we doing? No, they have 12 wonderful, awesome, and beautiful kids. That's absolutely incredible. An exemption. When you have more exemptions, you pay less. We want exemptions. But exempt from what? The truth will exempt you. Will exempt you from what? It will exempt you from judgment. It will exempt you from punishment. It will exempt you from shame. It will exempt you from the penalty of sin. It will exempt you from the curse. It will exempt you from lasting consequences. It will exempt you from hell. There are some great exemptions that the truth gives to us. I'm really thankful I'm not going to hell. I'm really thankful of that. I'm thankful I'm going to heaven. But church, we should be so grateful for it that we want to try to get as many folks into heaven as we possibly can and not talk about the other people who aren't going to make it. We should be trying to help them make it. I'll talk about that in a moment. We're exempt. We're free. Free. And don't you love free things? Hey, free buffet, free this, free that, free stuff. We like free. And Jesus is the ultimate on free. He gives you heaven for free. Free for you. Cost him an arm and a leg and a heart and a head and a spear and a... Cost him everything. But it's free for us. It's free for us. I always thought, though, that truth, if you really let truth come, it would cause problems. Remember as a kid? I remember as a kid when my brothers and sisters would say, I'm telling mom, and you did something, and they go, I'm telling mom. Do you ever have any brothers and sisters that said that? I'm telling mom. And then we go, no, don't tell mom. You're going to get me in what? You're going to get me in. It's always funny. We always blame them for getting us into trouble when maybe they're going to get you out of it. We're already in trouble. We're already in trouble. Some think to not be caught is to not be in trouble. If I don't get caught, then I'm not in trouble. If I get caught, then I'm in trouble. It is so messed up. Trouble is trouble regardless of whether you're caught or not. The problems of sin, whether we're caught in it or not, whether it's been exposed or not, is still trouble. The exposure, getting caught, is the greatest thing that can happen because it helps you get out of the problem that you're in. It's when we hide it and say, oh, as long as no one knows, I won't be in trouble. No. You're already in trouble. If I can just conceal it, hide it, let nobody know about it, then all of a sudden, nobody knows, I look good, everything's wonderful. We're finding out that's exactly where the Pharisees were at. Exactly where the Pharisees were at. Looking good on the outside, but what was really on the inside? Thinking, oh man, the lie is that you are not in trouble because you're not caught. So we keep living the lie, preserving the lie, and hiding in that lie. But let me say this. Everyone gets caught in the end. Everyone gets caught in the end. At the end of time, everyone gets caught. I would rather get caught now than later. Lord, catch me. Lord, catch me. But if you get caught and you expose it to truth, the truth hurts. It hurts. In exposing who you really are, it hurts sometimes. But also it says the truth will set you free. The truth may hurt for a little while. Short-term consequences, but a lie hurts forever. Long-term consequences. Have you ever, and I know this happens a lot with guys, I don't want to go to the doctor. Why do you want to go to the doctor? Because he might say something's wrong with me. Well, you're not feeling good. No, I know, but he might say it might be something really bad. I don't want to know. Wait a second. You don't want to know the truth? No, I don't want to know the truth. We don't want to know that. We don't want it exposed. But the problem is, not knowing that truth can kill you. Oh, man, I don't want to know. They might say I have cancer or something. Yeah. But cancer undetected for sure will kill you. Cancer detected, you have an opportunity to maybe live longer. Or an opportunity to be healed. But sometimes we don't want it exposed. Just like in our life, I don't want it exposed. Maybe I could live differently. Maybe life could be better. Maybe I could live without all these chains. I just don't want to expose it. I'm afraid of what may happen. I'm telling you this. In the short term, tough things could happen. In the long term, it's the most beautiful thing you can do is to expose your life to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and allow him to unburden you from the chains that are around us. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will make us free?" 2 points here. The Pharisees for sure didn't get it here. They weren't talking about a political freedom or a human rights freedom. He was talking about a sin freedom, that you're in bondage to sin. But the Pharisees, talking about this politically, going, "We've never been in bondage to anyone." And I'm going, never? Oh, no, not ever. So you don't count that time in Egypt for 420 years as bondage. Oh, well, I forgot about that one. Or the time you were carried away into Assyria, that doesn't count. Or Babylon for 70 years, that doesn't count. Or right now we're under Roman rule and they tell us what to do, that doesn't count. What do you mean you're not in bondage to anybody? And I'll tell you what, they were in deception, right? Even in the logic that they were thinking, we don't have any bondage. They missed the sin bondage, and they were thinking naturally, but even naturally they missed it. Even naturally they were lying to themselves. Oh, I don't have any bondage. I don't have any bondage. I'll tell you what, church, sometimes we do the same thing. Oh, no, I don't have any bondages. No, I'm good. I'm good. The Pharisees were lying to themselves. Church, let us not lie to ourselves. We've got an issue. Let's bring it up. Let's deal with it. Let's move on. Let's cut the chains. We don't have any bondages. We don't have any bondages. We don't have any bondages. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin, habitual sin, is a slave of sin." The word slave here is a person under the obligation to render obedience to a master. I'm under obligation to render obedience to this man. When I'm a slave to sin, sin tells me what to do. I want to go, oh, I want to be free. I don't want to go to this spot. Oh, no, you're in bondage. Bondage dictates what you're going to do. Bondage dictates how you're going to act. Bondage. Have you ever seen a caged lion when he's in a cage? We don't understand that sin is like a cage. It cages us. It's a ball and chain, but it's also a cage. Have you ever seen a lion in a cage? Meant to run wild out there. Now, again, I'm all for zoos, and you can see them and all that stuff, but I'm just saying at this point. You watch that lion, and he's walking along, just, you know, and he's king of the jungle. I'm king of my cage. King of my own cage here. And he just walks like that, and he turns, and he walks like that. And he turns, and he walks like it. He walks the same path, the same way, the same motions. You see him, they do the same exact thing over and over and over again. You know why? Because he's caged. He's not free. So he does the same motions, the same actions over and over again. He has no freedom to do anything else. He does the same thing over and over again. Have you ever found out that sometimes all of a sudden I'm in this sin and I do that, and then I don't want to do that, but then I do that. I do that, and then all of a sudden I want to change. No, but I do that, and I do that, and I'm wearing this path out. I can't do anything. I've got no freedom. I go through the same motions over and over again. I get on the internet, I do the same motions over and over and over again. I get out in the party light, and I do the same motions over and over and over again. And I'm going, whoa, boy, I want to be broken from this. We don't realize that we're a slave. We're in a cage. I wish it would say, and you're in a cage to sin. You only have certain options. You can do anything you want in your little box. You can growl, you can look cool, you can do whatever, but I'm telling you what, you're stuck right here. Same stuff, over and over, day by day, day by day, day in, day out, you're stuck. If you're in sin, habitual sin, we're stuck. We're a slave. We're in a cage. We're boxed. And the enemy's laughing the whole way. And And Jesus said this, I came to open up the cage door and set you, go, free, free, go, go, run out there, roar at everything else out there, go roar, go make some waves, go have fun, roll around out there. No, 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 no. I'm stuck in my cage. God never wanted us stuck in our cage. He never wanted to cage us up. He wanted to set us free. He wanted you to enjoy life to the max, not walk through the same problems over and over and over and over again, but to walk and have freedom, to have the chains broken and to be set free. And this truth, Koi, this truth, this sets us free. This sets us free. This is the key to the lock and the cage. He says, I came to set you free, free. But the Pharisees didn't want to be set free. They just wanted to look good. They didn't want to own up to their sin. It's important. They didn't want to own up to their own sin. They assumed they were good by their good works. They were good by their heritage that was Abraham, by their grandparents and great-grandma. And I come from a great line of Christians. Awesome. Where are you? Here's my thought. Sin, owning up to it brings freedom. Hiding it brings bondage. Sin, owning up to it brings freedom. Hiding it puts you in a cage. A cage that you were never, ever intended to live in. He came to set you free. I want to digress for just a moment here about this wanting to look good thing. Because the Pharisees were in it, and it's what stopped them through this whole thing. And I want to bring in another passage here. It's found in Luke 9 through 14. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now the tax collector, he's a vile person. He was the IRS back in the day. Everybody hated him. You'd never invite him over for dinner. He'd find out how much you had and how much you made, he'd take some of it. Because back then, too, the way that these tax collectors padded their accounts was they would exact more than they were supposed to from everybody. What are you going to say? They got all these Roman soldiers. A lot of them were just Jewish people who were taking from their own Jewish people. And they hated him. Matthew, he was a tax collector. And Jesus called him alongside. I'm saying that they didn't like these tax collectors. Everybody hated the tax collector. Look at the story. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, self-righteous. I'm a Christian. I'm good. I want us to get us, because I want us to think about how we approach sinners, because we are one. Self-righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Boo. The Pharisee, yay, stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector over here. We could add to the list liars, cheaters, drunkards, persons had an abortion, homosexual. We could go on and on and on with lists. And I wish he would have just picked them all out here. And this tax collector. I fast twice a week, not once, twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm doing good. I'm doing dang good if I don't say so myself. I just want you to know how good, how dang good, how awesomely wonderful I am doing. And I'm not like that guy. And the tax collector, standing afar off, didn't even feel worthy to even get close to anything, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, wouldn't even look up. This vile person, this cheater. But he beat his breast. saying, God, be merciful to me, a, say it with me, sinner. And then what does Jesus say? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Powerful lesson here, folks. The Pharisee tried to look good and bragged about it. He was self-righteous. He only let truth go skin deep. Enough truth to just kind of get in there so that I could look good on the outside. Okay, how am I looking? I got this truth kind of making me look really good. Am I looking good? Hey, how am I looking? Am I good? It's only going skin deep. What you guys can all see. It's only what you can see. I want to make sure that you guys, how am I looking? Good? The tax collector knew he wasn't good, and he beat his chest, called himself a sinner. He let the truth penetrate, not through to his skin, but all the way through into his heart, enough to change who he was. And it produced humility. In the Pharisee, it produced pride and arrogancy. My observation is this. One beat his chest in humility. The other beat his own drum in pride. Which one are you? When it comes to looking at sinners in our world today, and yes, we're going to hell in a handbasket, how do we approach sinners? I'm glad I'm not like you. You who have had an abortion. I'm so thankful God heals people of that. I'm so thankful He forgives us. I'm so thankful He changes us. I'm so wonderfully grateful of what He can do. Which one are you? Let me ask this question, if I can be really personal. When was the last time you beat your chest in confession to God? When was the last time you beat your chest confessing your sin to God? Oh, Pastor Phil, we're all good people here. We're good people. We don't have bad sins. I know. The problem is when we start realizing that our sins aren't bad. We only commit good sins. We're Christians. We're Christian people. We commit good sins. There are good sins in the Bible and bad sins in the Bible. And those sinners, they do the bad stuff. Us Christians, we do the good sins. I don't know where that's at in the Bible. When's the last time you looked at maybe something else and just said, gosh, Lord, I'm doing this again, man. I'm saying the wrong thing, thinking the wrong. When's the last time? The Pharisee was lying to himself about how good he was. I don't need anything else. The tax collector was honest with the truth about who he was. Let me say this. It's important for us to make sure we don't point fingers at sinners like the Pharisee did, saying, I thank God I'm not like those sinners, because God went after the sinners. He came to seek and save the lost. My observation is Jesus never pointed his finger at sinners. He gave them his whole hand and helped them up. And as we as a church start pointing fingers at sinners and talking about who they are as they're some sort of an animal, instead of reaching out your hand to help anybody, then who are we? I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying, I mean, we got a lot of junk out there. But Jesus tried to save the junk, not point at the junk and tell them how junky they were. The same with us today. Let's not point fingers. Let's show them the truth. Don't point fingers at them. We must help them see the light and help them see the truth. Therefore, the Son makes you free. You shall be free indeed. We need not point fingers at them, but instead point them to the freedom that you can have in Jesus Christ. Koi, I'm so glad that people didn't look at you and said, you dirty, rotten, miserable sinner. I know, blah, 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 blah. You. They said, hey, you know what? We're just like you. And you know what? Jesus Christ can undo the burdens that you're in, and we're going to love you and help you and support you and be around you and encourage you. I think that's the way Jesus would have us act as a church. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word, my truth, has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you, what you have seen with your father. Now listen, these are the Pharisees. These are the good guys. These are the ones pointing all the sinners. They're the ones saying, hey, aren't I good? Aren't I wonderful? I follow the law. I'm great. And look what he says to them. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, like father, like son. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, from which I heard from God. Jesus told them the truth, and they didn't like it because truth creates a reaction. We can either embrace it or be threatened by it and try to kill it, and they tried to kill it. They tried to kill the truth. If we're threatened by truth, it can only go in halfway. It can only go in skin deep. Well, the Pharisees took it skin deep, but that was it. It never went in fully. It never went in to fully change their lives because it got inside of their heart. If we're going to change a world, we have to communicate the love of Christ that gets inside of a person's heart, that goes down to their very soul, that begins to change a life. The Pharisees were threatened. They resisted it, and then they wanted to kill him. And Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Now he's going to get really, really, he's going to throw some tough stuff at these Pharisees. Then they said to him, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come from myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. And we're able to receive the truth. And then look at this one. And I'm sure this one made a lot of points with the Pharisees. You are of your father, the devil. Can you imagine being a Pharisee right there? You called me. You said my father was a what? Jesus, these are fighting words. He called him the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. Remember they wanted to kill him? And now he points it out. They wanted to kill him. He says that. You want to kill me now. You're the father of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He wanted to kill people from the very beginning. Like father, like son. I don't want ever to have the Lord look at me because I'm some proud, arrogant little snot who looks at other people and says, you're not as good as me. I am so much better than you. What's wrong with you, you sinners? And feel I am so self-righteous that he looks at me and says, oh, you're not self-righteous. You're the devil. Ouch. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. The devil has no truth. And he's looking at the Pharisees saying, dudes, you guys are missing it. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, let me add my little parenthetical, and you don't like it. Because I tell the truth, and you don't like it, you do not believe me. And boy, if that doesn't describe our nation today. The truth that's spoken, our world doesn't like it, therefore we reject it. We've been rejecting it for the last 100 years. We've been rejecting the truth. America has been told the truth. We were walking in truth, but all of a sudden we started not liking the truth, and therefore we started rejecting the truth. We ask the truth to get out of our schools because we don't want to pray in there anymore. We wanted to get truth out. Let me tell you what, the further truth leaves us as a nation, the more lies will lead us. We'd rather believe a lie so we might feel better. In John 2, 4, it says this. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I think in America we say we're Christians. We know God, but we're not doing it. Now hear me, church. I think we have some issues in America. But the way we solve the issues in America is not standing up on our high horse or up on our soapbox, pointing our finger and calling them sinners. It's by getting down in the trenches with them, putting your arm around them, and trying to show the character and the quality and the lifestyle that Jesus Christ would have us live. You're not going to change a sinner, especially a hardened one, in a moment or an instant, or throwing a stupid phrase at them. You're going to change them by loving them the way Christ would. That may take a while. Putting your arm around them, walking with them, doing something for them. I don't agree with the way you're living, but you know what? I love you because God loves you. And if I'm going to help you, I got to put my arm around you. There's a lot of problems. And we can curse the darkness, or we can light a candle. Try to lighten it up one person at a time, at least in our influence. Truth. It'll set you free. Will we communicate it to a world that's lost with love and compassion, with arms around them, helping them drop the ball and chain so that they can be set free to enjoy the beauty that Jesus Christ has for them? We're going to take communion now, and communion is a time where you examine yourself. The Bible said we're to examine ourselves. Communion, a time to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross when he went to Calvary. Because the only reason this chain falls off, the only reason this ball gets kicked away, is because Jesus Christ took our pain and penalty and punishment on the cross at Calvary, and it wasn't free. He was bleeding, he was bruised, he was whipped unmercifully. His body was gashed open, blood bleeding everywhere. And he says, remember, remember this, remember this. Remember the price of your freedom. Remember what it cost you. Remember what he did for you. Remember how much he loves you. When you drink that grape juice, remember the blood poured out. When you eat that bread, remember it was busted up and broken. He was for you. Why? So you could be free. The cage could be gone. You could live a life. It was awesome. We got to remember that. If we forget it, we'll become Pharisaical. If we forget it, that we're sinners, that we're saved by that blood. We're saved by grace. So my encouragement is this. Before you take communion, examine yourself. Is there an area where a chain's popped back on? Do you need to talk to him about something? Do you need to ask him to forgive you about something? Do you need to beat your chest somewhere and say, I'm a sinner. I need help here, Lord. Forgive me. The truth sets us free, but we have to be honest with truth and say, yes, I'm that person, Lord. I need your help. Forgive me, Lord. I confess it to you. I'm a sinner. But you know the thing about sinners that beat their chests? Every sinner that beats their chest finds mercy and grace from God. So after you beat it, then receive it. The grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, help us. Help us to change a world. It's a mess for sure. But Lord, us pointing fingers doesn't clean it up. Us doing like you did, coming out of heaven, down and living among us, putting your arms around us, given us an example for us is what changed us. Help us, Lord, to do the same for a world that needs your mercy and your grace. Take a moment and just think. Be with the Lord. See what he says to you. Open up your heart. Father, search my heart. Know me. See what he might say. Then come up. Drop it off. Ask him to forgive you. Drop it off. And then come up and celebrate and be thankful for the grace and the power that he gives us to walk a new life. God bless you.